Demetrius had a good testimony from the truth. And Dennis already read that for us in verse 12, 3 John 1:12. Maybe you've not thought about that before. Demetrius had a good testimony from the truth. And all of us this morning, we all have a testimony from the truth, either good or bad. And our question is, do you have a good testimony from the truth this morning? Well, as we get started, let's talk about a testimony. What is a testimony? There are a number of words translated testimony in the Bible, but I want to talk about two this morning. The one from 3 John 1:12 is martorio, and it is a testimony. It's a verb to be a witness, to bear witness, to affirm what one has seen or heard or experienced. Something that is known or taught by divine revelation or inspiration. God's Word is a testimony. It's an attestation from God as to what is true. Another word translated testimony found in, for example, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, very much the same, but a noun, it is a testifying, what one testifies as before a judge. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is that the truth which is the Word of God, John 17, 17, the truth, it is a testimony. Of course, we've already looked at 3 John chapter 1, verse 12, and the truth testified, it was a testimony of the things which are true, that is, that Demetrius, he had a good testimony from the truth. Turn your Bibles also with me over to 2 Timothy, though, in chapter 1, and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want us to notice here that the gospel, it is a testimony. And here the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Now what was this testimony of the Lord? It was the gospel, and they were suffering because of this testimony. Let me suggest to you that we participate in this testimony, testimony of the Word, as we agree with it and prove it to be true in our lives. I want us also to recognize, though, from the Old Testament, that indeed the Word of God, it was a testimony, but the things associated with the Word, that too was a testimony. Let's go first of all to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And here, speaking of the Word of God, more specifically the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 21. Here is the commandment of the Lord. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give to you. Now this testimony is the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God written on stone. Go with me to chapter 31 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. And here is the record of God as He spoke to Moses upon Mount Sinai. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. Here was the Ten Commandments. This was the testimony of the truth, those things which were true from God, the commandments of God, that which pointed out to them which was right and wrong, testified by these writings given to Moses from God, written by the finger of God. This is called the testimony. Now look with me in chapter 1, just a few verses before that, and verse 7. I want us to notice what the ark, was called, that which the Ten Commandments was placed into. In verse 7 of chapter 31, the tent of meeting and the ark of testimony. I want us to notice those things associated with the testimony, with the Word of God, with the truth. These two are called testimonies. Go with me over to Acts chapter 7, verse 44. You may want to hold your finger in Exodus. We'll be back in that area of the Bible in just a moment. But go with me over to Acts chapter 7, and here in verse 44, when Stephen is giving a very broad overview of the Old Testament age, the Mosaic age, verse 44. Stephen says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony." Now the tabernacle contained the ark, which contained the testimony, which was the Ten Commandments. And because of its association with the testimony, with the Ten Commandments, with the ark itself, it's called a testimony. Now go back with me over to the Old Testament, now to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 3 now. Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 3 says, "Outside the veil of testimony." Now the veil was in the tabernacle. The veil was in the tabernacle, and that is what divided the tabernacle and hid the ark that contained the word, that is the Ten Commandments. Now we could go a little further. We want to this morning. But see that the tent which covered the tabernacle, that it also is called the tent of the testimony. And so the Word of God, specifically here in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, it is called the testimony, and those things in association with it, they also, in participation with it, they also are called a testimony. We'll talk about this a little bit more as we talk about us today as Christians at the end of the lesson. I want us to notice that the Word of God, the Bible, it is God's testimony about His will for us, and it tells us what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is righteousness. And everyone decides whether or not to believe this testimony contained in the Word of God or some other testimony, the testimony of man that we also read about in the Bible. So the Word of God is a testimony. And those things associated with it, those things also are testimonies. Well, the next point this morning is that everyone has a testimony from the truth. I want you to go back with me to 3 John chapter 1. And of course, we've already read about Demetrius, who had a good testimony. But within the immediate context, there is another fella here. And it talks about this individual, and I want to look at him for just a moment. 3 John chapter 1, now verse 9. And it talks about this man, Diotrephes. John says, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say." So John had written something to the church, to the congregation, and Diotrephes did not accept what they said. He was one who wanted to be first, foremost, of high rank, and he rejected the apostolic writing sent to the congregation. Now take this within the context. Verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." Then talks about Demetrius and his good testimony from everyone and from the truth and also from the apostles. Let me suggest to you that Diotrephes, he had a bad testimony from the truth. This was a bad testimony that he rejected the Word of God. He rejected the apostolic writings. He had a bad testimony, and Demetrius had a good testimony. I use this as an example to show that all of us have either a good or a bad testimony from the truth. And I want to show how this testimony comes about. Go with me to John chapter 3. Interesting, isn't it? We go from 3 John to now John, the Gospel, and chapter 3. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. And I believe he tells us how this all comes about, that we either have a good or a bad testimony from the truth. Let's begin in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus is going to go from this and tell us about judgment. Judgment of the world. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so Jesus didn't come to judge, that is to condemn the world, but to save the world. He was seeking those who are lost to save them. But now Jesus tells us what does judge the world. Let's see what it says. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already. How so? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. This is the judgment. That the light, that's Jesus, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I want to talk about the very end of that last verse. We have a testimony from the truth as to whether our deeds are wrought in God or not wrought in God. And of course, not wrought in God is to be wrought in the devil. And so the truth is a testimony. Are our deeds wrought in God or are they not wrought in God? I want to give you some illustrations here. The first illustration here is of Joel Osteen, the pastor, quote unquote, of the largest church in the United States of America. I think it's around 25,000 or so is their membership there. This is a video clip. I've knocked out the audio. He was on the Larry King show. There he was promoting a book. I think it was a brand new book. This was in 2005. And the title is Your Best Life Now. And so, I meant to knock out all the audio with that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that some of it was still there. I'll turn that down. And so with this, and the discussion that we have here with the video clip, that Larry King, of course, needing these ratings here, is asking him about who's saved, who's not saved, and gets him to say that, well, you have to have Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. So Larry King says, well, let me bring up the Jews and the Muslims. And so King asked him, Larry King says, what if you're Jewish or Muslims, you don't even accept Christ at all? And Osteen says, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. And goes on. King then asks, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they? And Osteen says, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches and goes on with that and such. And then he goes a little further and says, I don't know. I've seen their sincerity. I know that they love God, so I don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, I want to make this point. We do know. He doesn't know, or he doesn't want to say, because he's trying to sell a book and I guess make millions of dollars with all the books he's sold. And he wants lots of people to come to his church. But we do know, we've read from the Bible, that those who do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ have been judged. The word there means condemned already. We do know. And he says, well, I know that they love God. No, they do not love God. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. And so, what is the testimony of Joel Osteen? Testimony from the truth that he's a false teacher. Now I want to use one other example. I'm going to turn the audio up for this because I want you to hear it. And rather than me explaining it, I want you to hear it for yourself. And so I'll put the microphone down here. And this is Billy Graham, who's probably the most famous preacher in all the world, on Robert Schuller TV show, The Hour of Prayer. So I'm going to play this so you can hear this and then we'll talk about it.
What do you think is the future of Christianity? I think everybody that loves Christ on those Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not. They're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and they're going to be with us in heaven.
Now let's talk about that just a minute, and I know you don't have time to analyze it. They might not even know the name of Jesus Christ, but they're going to be saved and they're going to be with us in heaven. That's what he's saying. He's saying that God is calling people from the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, the Christian world, the non-believing world, even those who are atheists, and without even knowing Christ, without knowing the name of Christ, he believes they're saved, that they're in the church, and they're going to go to heaven. Now, this is from a man who used to preach hellfire and brimstone when that was real popular. And now inclusion is very popular, so now he is preaching inclusion. What does the Bible say? You know what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, to know the Lord is to keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, to love God is to keep his commandments, not some commandments of men. John chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we must turn to Jesus to be saved, the true light, not to false religion. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, that when Jesus comes, angels will come in flaming fire, dealing out retribution of those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. And these individuals will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and verse 47, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, those are the ones who are in the body of Christ, not Muslim, not atheists, not Buddhists. What is the testimony of the truth in regard to Billy Graham? He is a false teacher. But I want to look at another, and that is of Abel. And turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And I want us to notice the testimony of the truth regarding this one. Remember, he was killed by his brother Cain. And the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And how is this testimony? This testimony is through the word of God that he obeyed and his brother did not obey because his sacrifice was by faith. Testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. How did he have this testimony? It is through the truth and through God's word. Now let me ask you this question. What testimony do you have from the truth? Is it a good one? Is it a bad one? When tested with the word of God, the truth testifies of your life. What is the testimony? If you'll turn back with me to 3 John chapter 1 and verse 11, I want to point out one thing. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 11. And that is, we have to know the truth before we can have a good testimony from it. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And how do we know what is good? It is to know the word of God, to exercise our senses, to discern good from evil, Hebrews chapter 5, and to do those things in our life. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. What testimony do you have from the truth? Well, I want to talk about one more thing this morning. And that is, as Christians, we are living testimonies. Remember from the Old Testament, we already talked about things in connection with the Word of God, the truth. These were testimonies. The ark, the tabernacle, the veil, and even the tent. We didn't look at a scripture with that. Well, I want us to notice this morning that you and I as Christians, we are testimonies. Before getting to this word in the New Testament with testimony, I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because here Paul is making a comparison with the commandments written on stone. You remember this is the testimony we read already from the Old Testament. And I want to look at this comparison as he makes it today with Christians. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 1, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter. Now, first of all, I want us to notice, he's saying, do I need a testimony in written letters as some need? No, you are our letter. In other words, you are our testimony. Now, the word testimony isn't used there. But we'll look at scriptures where it is in just a moment in the New Testament. But continue on. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ. You are a letter of Christ. Now, you've not written this around. You don't go around. You don't go passing this out to everybody. What you've written on paper, it's you, who you are, what you're doing, the way that you act, all of these things. You are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So we ask this question. If the tablets written on stone by the finger of God, the Ten Commandments, if that was a testimony, then for us, written on our hearts by the Spirit of God, are we not also a testimony? Well, we would conclude yes. But let's look at other scriptures to see if that conclusion is correct. Go with me to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 1, verse 12. Now, Paul, in getting to chapter 3, this is what he said in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, for our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience. So we must realize that our conscience, it is a testimony. In the way that we act and the things that we do, being true to our conscience, being trained by what? The world? No. By sin? No. By false religious doctrine? No. But with the Word of God. That our conscience is a testimony. Very much what he's talking about. The Word of God being written upon our hearts. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It is a testimony now. Our conscience being trained with the Word of God. Notice what he says. This testimony of our conscience. That in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And beginning there in verse 9. He who believes has the testimony in himself. 1 John chapter 5 and beginning in verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. We have this testimony. It is within ourselves. We, through our conscience, being trained by the Word of God, we are a testimony. The Word of God written upon our hearts. A testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made himself a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And so this is the testimony. We believe we have this testimony within ourselves that we have this life, eternal life. And it is evident to all as we are true to our conscience, having been trained by the Word of God, the truth, the Word of God written upon our hearts in the life that we live. It is a testimony to all. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's see that this testimony of Christ is confirmed in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and now in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Verses 4 through 8. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. Now, how so? Verse 7. So that you are not lacking in any gift. Now, indeed, they had spiritual, supernatural gifts. And we do not have the supernatural gifts today, but we do have the gifts of God. And not all those gifts listed here in the book of 1 Corinthians or in the book of Romans are all supernatural, but we have the gifts of God today, our conscience being trained, and in the way that we live. Confirmed, not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this too, being trained by the Word of God and in our actions and the things that we do, the way that we live, the Word of God written upon our hearts, we now eagerly wait for that day in which Jesus Christ will be revealed. And let me suggest to you that this waiting for Him, it too is a testimony. As we wait for Him based upon the promises of God and confident in those, as Paul talks about a little bit later in this epistle in chapter 15. Lastly, we are testimonies in the words that we speak. Revelation chapter 12, if you will turn there with me this morning as we begin to conclude our study together. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Now here the word testimony is that second word we talked about as we look here in these three verses in the book of Revelation. And it's to testify as before a judge those things which are true. In chapter 12, verse 11, speaking of those, and they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. As we live truth and we speak truth, we are testifying that those things contained within the Word of God, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, eagerly awaiting for Him. Those things written upon our hearts, our conscience being a testimony that we too speak words that testify of these truths. And then in verse 17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This testimony of Jesus, the gospel, we hold to it, we do not let go, and those words we speak, speaking as the oracles of God, they too are testimonies to those things which are true. And one final verse, and that is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. There John says, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Christ. Yes, we as Christians, we are testifying of the truth of the Word of God in all of our actions, with our conscience and the things that we do. The Word of God being written upon our hearts, speaking as the oracles of God, we are testifying of these true things which are revealed within the Word of God. As we sometimes sing, we are the world's Bible. In the same vein of thought, we are living testimonies today by the things that we say and the things that we do, our conscience having been trained by the Word of God, the gospel written upon our hearts, and speaking the oracles of God. We are living testimonies today. Everyone has a testimony from the truth, either good or bad. As Christians, our testimony from the gospel is good, believing in Jesus, His name, and obeying, living in such a way, eagerly waiting for His revelation from heaven, revealing from heaven. As Christians, God's word is written upon our hearts and is evident in all that we say and do. We are the world's Bible. My question to you is, do you have a good testimony from the truth? In other words, what does God say about you through His word? Do you need to make any changes today? Think about those things. As we conclude our lesson, we'll offer the invitation. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those things which are testified by God from heaven through His word, that if you believe in Jesus and His name, and henceforth obey Him, you shall have the life, eternal life. What has the Lord commanded us to do? Simply believing in Him, repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, we have the life. And then living faithful here upon this earth, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll rise up to be with Him in the air, and He'll take us home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Eternal life in heaven. If we can help you this morning, think about these things. Come to the front as we stand and sing.